I'm going to ask you to turn with me back to Deuteronomy chapter 7. That's where we started last week. And I'm going to read verses 1 and 2. I considered doing a Mother's Day message today, and I normally do. I've preached some messages about Hannah. I've preached messages about Mary, and I've preached a message called Leading Ladies, different things that I've done in the past. And I intended to do that early in the year, but the Lord really made this series that I'm on a priority in my study, and I felt that I needed to continue with this. The Word of God tells us, let's just read it, and I normally have you stand. I'm going to let, it's just two scriptures, I'm going to let you remain seated, but I'm reading from the New American Standard. It says, when the Lord, your God, brings you into the land that you are entering to take possession of it, and he drives away many nations before you, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier, King James says stronger than you, I believe it says stronger. When the Lord your God turns them over to you and you defeat them, you shall utterly destroy them. Now, what I'm preaching over the course of the next few weeks is this series, and I'm taking each of these nations and telling you what they represent in the spirit. Now, these were natural nations that Israel had to face, and I believe that every one of them were legitimate, real nations. But I also believe that they were driven by spiritual powers and principalities, and we face those spiritual powers and principalities today. We're still in a battle. We still fight the enemy. The enemy is not the nation. The enemy is not the nations of the world, but the enemy is the power, the principality that's behind these strongholds that we face. How many of you know that this is a spiritual warfare? Yes. It's war. This is war we're in. And I'm not talking about our nation. I'm not talking about politics. I'm not talking about those things. I'm talking about for us to live in this time that we live and face the spiritual attacks that we face, we had better be in line with God, because we are going to face difficulties and hardships, and there are powers and principalities and rulers of darkness and wickedness of this world that we have to face on a regular basis. And so we're talking about spiritual warfare, but I want us to really get that these seven nations represent seven different strongholds that we have to fight. Last week we talked about the Hittite. The Hittites were descendants of Heth or Het. Some scriptures, if you look at the original word, they say H-E-T. Some say H-E-T-H. And so we see there, if we go back and look at that, Het was a descendant of Canaan, the grandson of Noah, if I'm not mistaken, and his name meant terror. So the principality that we talked about last week was a principality of fear. And I believe that it's named first for a reason. It's named first because that is one of the greatest difficulties that we as the people of God face. We fight against the spirit of fear. If the devil can keep you bound in fear, he can keep you from your promised land. Yes. Amen? Yes. If he can keep you bound in fear, he will keep you from stepping out by faith to do whatever you've been called to do. He will keep you from stepping out of your seat to go forward to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. He'll keep you locked in sin. He'll keep you in a place of familiarity just because you're afraid to see what might come next. Maybe I can't make it. Maybe I can't do it. Maybe I can't step into my calling. Maybe I can't preach. Maybe I can't do all these things. You know, I fought with that for so many years. This is one of the strongest principalities that the body of Christ faces today. If you weren't here last week, you didn't hear that, then you can back up on Facebook and watch last week's message. And today we're going to talk about the Girgashites. the second one named here, I'm just going to go right in order with the way they're named. And I'm going to only spend time on this one nation today. And it's odd because I probably have more notes about the Girgashites than I do about any of the other nations, but there's probably less said in the Word of God about them. But I want you to understand that this speaks volumes. And I want you to get that, and we'll talk about that in just a few minutes. But let me again remind you, these seven nations, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier or larger and stronger than you. I want you to see verse 2 again. When the Lord your God turns them over to you and you defeat them, you shall utterly destroy them. Here's what I want to say before we go very much further. When we become believers in Jesus Christ, we are clean, we are pure, we are holy in the sight of God, and we are free as far as God is concerned. But so many of us will fall back into bondages that held us before, and God does not want that for us. He wants us to be free. He wants us to live victoriously. And what he's saying here to the children of Israel is that when he gives them to you, when you get your victory, when he gives you the promised land, when you give your heart to Jesus Christ and you become a Christian, then it says that you shall defeat them. You shall utterly destroy them. I want you to understand that God will do the work. The battle is his, but you have to submit to him. And you have to fight and realize that it's up to you to live free, to stay free, to claim your freedom, and to yield yourself to God. Amen. The Bible tells us whoever we yield ourselves to, our members to, that's whose servant we are. We can yield ourselves to sin, or we can yield ourselves to righteousness. So just as God was telling the children of Israel that they should utterly destroy them, leave no trace of them, I'm telling you today that whatever God set you free from, you have to utterly destroy it. You have to take your authority in Jesus Christ, and you have to walk victoriously in him, allow him to pave the way. God told the children of Israel that he would drive them out. We read it there. But it is our responsibility to allow him to, through us, defeat them totally. Yes. If it's fear, fear will try to come back. Yes. Say, no, God has not given me the spirit of fear, but a power and love and a sound mind. I am not going to bow to you, fear. The word of God tells me that the Lord has not given me the spirit of fear. The word of God tells me that perfect love drives out all fear. And fear, you have no place. Spirit of fear, you have no place in my life. And we have to walk that way. We have to stand on that promise. Yes. I told you last week, I'm not going back into that message, but I told you last week I was bound by fear as a young man. And God set me free. It tries to come back ever so often. But praise God, I'm still walking in victory. Amen. And as long as I allow him to do the work through me, I can stay in victory. I have to utterly destroy it. Amen. Okay, so we're talking about seven nations that are stronger than Israel. And these are natural, but we're talking about now in a spiritual sense what these represent. Let's look at the Girgashites. Without reading a lot more scripture yet, let's look at the Girgashites. I have a lot of notes, and I'm going to read these to you, talk to you about what God has given me. And I didn't get this from some book. I didn't get this from somebody else. The Lord gave me this in 2011, and I preached it the first time then. But as I revisited, I have added a lot of things and changed a few things. I didn't have notes. Couldn't find them. God made me study all fresh, brand new. But Dad found some notes, and they sent me pictures of them so I could, after I studied it, and now I can look back and see God has given me more revelation this time. And I'm thankful for that. The Girgashites, the Girgashites were a nation that their name meant dwelling on a clayey soil. The soil that they lived on was made of clay. they might have been from South Georgia or somewhere, but they dwelled on a clayey soil. And these were another group of descendants of Canaan from his son Ham. They came from Noah's son Ham, through Ham's son Canaan. And there's not a lot of history about this specific group in the Word of God. However, these tribes were, this tribe was mentioned by the Egyptians and the Nubians, and their records say that they were great warriors and that they were hired mercenaries. Some of them were even reported to wear golden armor. I think that's interesting because that seems to indicate that they were wealthy, but they lived in the dirt. They lived on or in the clayey soil. And the name here carries something just like Het carried the understanding of fear. I believe the name here carries something that we can learn from today. They might have had riches. They might have had great warriors. They might have been a great people when it came to war. But they lived in and lived on the dirt. And they would always return to the dirt. That's what we're going to talk about today. Talking about returning to the dirt. Returning to uncleanness. The Girgashites are not mentioned in connection with any city. Most of these nations, it tells of their cities, or we read somewhere else in the Word of God about the cities that they had. The Amorites, we'll cover them, Lord willing, next week. The Amorites, it names many nations that were part of the Amorites. The Amorites, two of the Amorite kings were Shion, I think I'm pronouncing that right, and Og. Anybody remember Og? He was a giant, and he was the king of Bashan, and Shion was the king of, don't remember, that's all just from memory. But anyway, it doesn't matter. But what I want you to get is that the Girgashites are not connected with any city or particular place, as most of these nations are, just that they were connected with the dirt. How many of you know that before Jesus Christ came into your life, that you were bound in, you lived on filth. You lived in the dirt. How many of you know that Jesus Christ does not want us to stay in that place, but he wants to take us out of, you hear this all the time, the miry clay and put our feet upon the rock of Jesus Christ. Amen? We're not to live in the dirt. The Bible even gives in the New Testament the story, the parable of the man who built his house on the sand, the dirt, and the one who built his house on the rock. The one who built his house on the sand, great was the fall of his house. But the one who built his house upon the rock, it withstood the storms. And we have to understand that if our foundation is not Jesus Christ, then we're built on something else. And the dirt, the earth, this world is temporary. It will not last. What you're basing your hopes on, what you're basing your life on, will crumble if it's not Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Now, it's also interesting that the Bible never says that they accomplished anything. There's nothing that it mentions that they are notable, or that was notable that they did. There's nothing in particular that tells us any accomplishment, I already said, no city associated with them. I think that's important. We'll come back to that. And it's also noteworthy that the Girgashites are never mentioned in the Bible apart from, I think they're in there seven times, I believe it is, maybe six, but they are never mentioned apart from these other nations. When the Girgashites are mentioned, so are these other nations. The Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Amorites, those three in particular are mentioned a lot with the Girgashites. This tells us something too, and we'll come back to that. Some of the Jewish historians, because the Bible doesn't tell us much about them, believe that they fled Israel when fled from Israel when Israel entered the promised land. That would make sense because there's not much information, but I don't believe that's the case. There are other scholars, however, that argue that they settled in the land of the Gadarenes, which we read about in Matthew chapter 28. And if it's interesting, you'll see if you read that Matthew chapter 8, verse 28, you'll see that in the land of the Gadarenes, you will see that there were two men that came out from the tombs that lived in the tombs. Another dirty place. They came out from the tombs and they ran to Jesus and they were set free. I want us to understand this is where they say a lot of the scholars say that they settled, and it's possible that it's true that that's where they settled. We just don't know that for sure. But there is a connection there in that these men came out of the tombs and this nation lived in the dirt. We can see some implications here if we begin to look at what the Girgashites stand for. And again, I want us to understand that this nation symbolically stands for the principality that traps people in spiritual filth, in uncleanness, in sin, in perversion, in wickedness, and in keeping this earth as their focal point. Now, you wouldn't think about people who are necessarily wrapped up in perversion and those who just are distracted all the time by this world as being influenced by the same principality. But I believe that they are. That it's a spirit of error in some ways. It will tell you that it's okay to go ahead and do this or don't worry about it. You've already given your heart to the Lord Jesus. You don't have to try to overcome this. And the enemy is a liar.
Amen.
And I know that this is Mother's Day, and I know that this is it's actually a very heavy message, but we have to realize that God says in His Word, come out from among the world and be a separate people, says the Lord, and I will receive you.
Amen.
And so I want to preach you the truth this morning, and this just happens to be the message that we're at. And I don't believe that it's by coincidence. I believe that God this morning is wanting to speak to some of us who have been trapped in this world and looking at the things of this world. We might have been trapped in some form of perversion. We might have been trapped in some form of addiction. We might have been trapped in some form of paying attention to everything else that's going on rather than to get our minds on the Word of God. But God tells us to think on whatever is true, whatever is holy, whatever is pure. And we are too, as a church, I'm just saying, the body of Christ, we are too tied up with what's going on in, and I'm not against Christians being in politics and paying attention to politics, but we're too worried about politics and not worried enough about what God says to the body of Christ. We're too worried about what is going to happen 10 years down the road, and we seem to have no concern that Jesus is coming back, and it may be today. We have to get our minds on Jesus Christ. We have to get our feet planted on the rock. So the Girgashites, we see them as a symbol of the principality that traps people and always brings them back into the dirt. I believe this tribe represents a tendency to backslide, to fall away, to never gain victory. I'm just going to slow down and take a few minutes. I told you last week I was going to preach, and that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do that again today. I'll preach when I need to preach, and I'll teach when I need to teach. But you, like me, have all seen people who would come in, and they'd do great for a little while. The next thing you know, they're right back out there in the middle of whatever it were they were in. And then maybe a year later, they're right back in the church house again, and they're on fire for God. And then again, they're right back out in the world. You ever seen that?
Yeah.
Don't name any names. You ever been that? Come on. And I believe that that's this principality. That's what this spirit wants to do. This unclean spirit that wants to pull us away from God. It's always dragging us, trying to drag us away from Jesus Christ. This tribe potentially illustrates a life that's desirous of freedom, but never becoming fully clean or never being sanctified. Oh, that's a word you don't hear very much in the church anymore. Sanctified. Anybody know what sanctified means? Let me put a mark there so I know where I'm at. Anybody know what sanctified means?
Set apart.
Set apart. Amen. In practical terms, we use it and we can understand it to mean that God cleans us up. But it actually means to be set apart. God sets us apart for His service. This oil right here, in a manner of speaking, is sanctified. It's not that it's that we would say even it's 100% pure. I don't know. It's olive oil. I don't know how pure it is, but I will tell you that it's set apart. We pray for the sick and anoint them with oil, as the word says in James. And this is set apart for that. Now, this same olive oil would fry an egg just fine. But that's not the purpose that it's set apart for. Amen? It would actually, I don't know if you've ever done it with olive oil, but it'll stop a squeaky hinge from squeaking. Yeah. That's not the part that it's set up, that's not what it's set apart for. This is set apart for a holy purpose. And that is what we have to understand. You might be able to do something else and you might be good at it, but God has set you apart for a specific purpose. He has called you and He has anointed you as a member of His kingdom, as a part of the family of God. He has set you apart to do your part in the kingdom of God. And if we are not careful, we will be right out there in the world doing our own thing, and it might not be perversion, it might be something totally okay, but it is not what God has called us to do. There's nothing wrong with using olive oil to fry an egg.
That's right.
But this is set apart for something different.
Yes.
And God wants to set you apart for something different. He doesn't want you always being pulled back in to what you used to be. He wants you clean. He wants you delivered. He wants you pure. He wants you holy. He wants you sanctified. The Girgashites represent a people who always return to the world or to filth that they should have already gotten free from simply because they have become trapped or captive again to uncleanness. Again, I told you that I believe with all my heart that the moment that you're saved, as far as God is concerned, you're free.
Yes.
But so many of us haven't allowed the Lord to sanctify us, to set us apart, and so we continue to go right back into the same filth. There's some scripture for that, and I'll read it in a few minutes. But I want us to understand, God wants to set you apart. The Girgashites represent the spiritual principle that traps so many in addictions who desire freedom but continue to relapse over and over. Or perhaps one who desires to be holy but remains trapped in immorality or in slavery to sin. These people, and I am talking about even Christians, are not free as they should be, and they cannot accomplish much. Now listen to that. They cannot accomplish much in the kingdom of God because of the unclean spirit that is always pulling them back into the dirt. I want us to realize that just as the Girgashites never were said to accomplish anything in the Bible, and they never even had a city that, as far as we know, named after them, they were unable to really get any traction. That is exactly what this spirit wants to keep you in. Keep you bound. Keep you from accomplishing anything. And I'll tell you, one of the ways that he does it is that when you are bound by some kind of spirit and you keep falling back in to this or to that, even when you have repented and you're on right standing with God and you're doing well, there is this nagging thing that the devil does. He says, you can't be free. You can't be victorious. victorious, don't you ask something big of God, because God is not going to hear you, because that sin that you keep falling into is hanging over your head. I want you to know that the devil is a liar, and that God wants you free, and he is listening, and if you truly repent of it, he will forgive. Hallelujah. And you don't have to keep falling back in.
Amen.
You don't have to. You don't have to. I know it's bigger than you. That's what this tells us. It's greater and stronger than you. I know that. It's what God told the children of Israel. But it's not bigger or greater or stronger than your God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now, when I say this, when I say that, yes, even Christians, it is seen in them who are not free, and that they should be that they could accomplish anything in the kingdom of God because they remain in uncleanness and they don't have any confidence. And this is not a belittlement, because many of these people are trapped against their desire.
Yes.
Amen. I believe all of us have been there at one point or the other. And there might be many of us who are in this house today that are trapped in something. And most of the time, you might walk in freedom. But ever so often, you'll fall back into something. And it makes you lose your confidence when you pray. And I want us to understand that God wants us free.
Yes. Amen. Yes.
Let me tell you that if you do fail, and if you are tripped up and you do slip into something, the Word of God says, if we will confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All unrighteousness. So it's not a belittlement. This is simply a news brief or a call to action or an alert. I'm just telling you that you can be free. You can be free. I'm gonna pause here for just a minute. And if you are here this morning and you have ever been totally bound by whatever, and you are 100% certain that God has set you free and made you a new creature in Christ, can I see your hand? I want you to look around this building. My hand is up with them. All over this building, God has set people free. And if you're here this morning and you can't lift your hand to that you don't know for certain that God has set you free, let me tell you that He already accomplished the work at Calvary. He defeated Satan. He defeated this unclean spirit that wishes to draw you back into the dirt. Already defeated. The Word of God tells us that He made an open spectacle of the devil. And you can have this freedom too. We've all been there one time or another. But God offers freedom. Now, on the other hand, there are some, and we have to understand that, there are others who choose to live in the compromise.
Yes.
So therefore, they stay trapped, but it's because of their choices. Now, I hope that's not you. But there may be some who are watching or some who are in the house that you've chosen to stay trapped. These have a tendency to misrepresent themselves as more holy than they are, or more spiritually mature than they are, because of shame on some cases. And some cases, it's because they have deceived themselves. The Bible says that we can believe a lie and be damned. It's not okay for us to continue in sin. Shall we continue in sin that grace can abound, shall abound? God forbid. That's what the Word says. God forbid. So we don't continue in sin just because of grace. And there's a doctrine out there that we can continue in sin. You can live any way you want to if you've prayed a prayer one time. I'm going to tell you that that is a lie from the devil, and that's a bold statement, but it's a lie from the devil. We are not, according to the Word of God, to continue in sin just because of grace. That is a smack in the face of Jesus. He took your sins to Calvary. He died upon that cross for you. And when you continue in sin, it's like you're crucifying him afresh. And I want you to understand, if we fall into sin, that's what grace is about. If you make a mistake and you slip up, thank God for grace. But don't use the grace of God as an opportunity to walk in sin.
Amen.
It's displeasing to God, and it's enmity, as I said a few weeks ago, with God. And it is a misunderstanding of His grace.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. His grace is amazing.
Yes, it is.
It's amazing. It washes white as snow. It can cleanse the deepest, darkest, most perverted sinner. And make them into the purest, whitest, saintly, angelic little old grandma. Let me just pause right there, because some of the grandmas that we hold in such high regard, if you knew what they did in their 20s, you'd be, what? But God has washed them.
Yes.
He has cleansed them.
Yes.
The Bible says that our sins are cast as far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered against us again. Praise God for that.
Amen.
God knows about it. He didn't forget it totally, but He is not holding it against us anymore. It's washed away. Thank God.
Yes.
But don't go on sinning just because He's merciful. We can be free. Some people have chosen to willfully sin. The Word of God tells us in Hebrews that if we willfully sin, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. You might say, well, what does that mean? If you continue to sin and you're willfully sinning, then the sacrifice of Jesus Christ is not being applied to you. You have to carry the weight of your sin for yourself. Thanks to God, though, if you will repent, His blood, His sacrifice will be applied to your life. Now, I know this is some old time hard preaching, but God is trying to clean up His church.
Yes, amen.
Returning to repeated filth, the people who choose to walk in continual sin will not accept the full deliverance of God, because they enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. So they just keep returning to it. Here's the scripture I told you about. Galatians, there's two of them actually I want to share. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. For you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but serve one another through love. And then Romans chapter 6, verse 14 through 16. Here's where the rubber meets the road. For sin shall not have dominion over you. Some will say, I've got issue. I just be real honest. I'm under an anointing this morning, and I'm saying what I feel like the Lord wants me to say. But I've got issue with people who says we're just sinners saved by grace. I just be honest. I got a problem with that. I understand that we all occasionally stumble, but a sinner is one who practices sin.
Yes.
And as Christians, we're not supposed to practice sin. We're supposed to practice righteousness.
Yes.
God wants us to be representatives of Jesus Christ. Is that true or not?
Amen.
Jesus walked without sin. You are not Jesus. and you will make mistakes, and you will fail, and you will sin occasionally while you're in this flesh. It's just natural that we will, but there is a war going on between the earthly, the dirt, the flesh, and the spiritual, the heavenly. Amen. There's this war that's going on. And the Word of God tells us to be led by the Spirit. And if we're led by the Spirit, we're called the sons and the daughters of God. If we're led by the flesh, it leads to corruption and it leads to death. But if we're led by the Spirit, it leads to life eternal. God wants you free. He has called you His beloved. You are a new creature in Christ. Old things have passed away. All things become new. You're a new creature. You're not just a sinner saved by grace. You are a saved, used to be sinner. I want you to understand you're a saint as far as God is concerned. You're a blood-bought, born-again, brand new creature in Christ. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. Y'all ain't amening me like I'd like for you to. I'm going to preach it anyway. I know you love me. Amen. Let me read on. For you are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? Here, I already said this a few minutes ago. God forbid. Know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom you obey. Whether it is sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. I want us to understand that if we continue to live in an earthly and carnal way, like the Girgashites, we'll always have dirt on us. I thought about, you know, my mind works a little differently than everybody else. One time I had a brain scan and they said my brain waves were abnormal. Praise God. I'm glad they are. I'm not too crazy about the way normal brain waves work nowadays. I think about things and I think about if these people lived in the clayey dirt, if they lived on the clayey dirt. You know what? I went out to my chicken lot this morning. I got chickens a couple weeks ago from Brother Joey and Sister Peggy. And I went out to my chicken lot this morning and I gave them some breakfast. I thought, well, you know, they need to eat this morning instead of waiting until I get home about 2 o'clock today. So I went out there and you can't go out in the dirt and not get dirt on you. I've got a path out through there that I've got mulch on that goes to the chicken lot. I didn't go in the chicken lot, but I got a path that goes out to the chicken lot. I still have to go through the grass a little ways. It was wet. I came back. I had stuff all over my shoes. I probably still got some stuff on my shoes. Because if you go into the dirt, you're going to get dirt on you.
Yes.
The Girgashites lived in the dirt. They might have had golden armor, but I guarantee they had some dirt on it.
Yeah.
We're to put on the armor of God.
Yes.
But it shouldn't have dirt on it.
That's right.
Amen. Am I making my point this morning?
Yes.
God wants us free.
You
know, I'll say this. I believe that we can be Christians and still be tied up and tangled up in some junk.
Yes.
But we don't have to be.
That's right.
God wants us free.
Yes.
If we continue to live in an earthly way, in the carnal, we'll get dirt on us. If we continue to live in the dirt, you will return to the dirt, even if you climb out of it. If you become a companion of people who live in the dirt, they'll lead you into dirty situations. That's why the Word of God tells us not to be unequally yoked.
Yes.
That's not just for marriage. That's in so many other situations. Because people who live in the dirt, in the earth, in the earthly frame of mind, will lead you into the dirt.
Yes.
I used to work with some guys that all they could think about was dirt, filth, smut. You probably work with some of them now. I just work with Johnny now, so it's not so bad. Most of the time. No, Johnny, I'm messing with him. He's standing up there. Standing up there, nodding his head. It's not so bad. But I used to work in the public, and I know how it is. And I know that there are people that they will come out of their way to find you to talk stuff that they know you don't want. want to hear. I had a man that I worked with in Corbin, Kentucky, that he would come looking for me to talk about things that he knew would make me squirm. And I'd tell him, I don't want to hear that. And he would laugh. He thought it was hilarious. I worked with a man in Hazard the same way. And he would come and tell me of all of his escapades over the weekend, what all he had done and who he had been with and all these things. And I would tell him, I don't want to hear this, but I'm praying for you. Thank God he watches sometimes now. He gave his heart to the Lord a few years ago, probably 10 years ago, and he sent me a message on Facebook. You remember this, Tracy? He sent me a message on Facebook, and he said, Jerry, I just want to tell you I'm sorry for what I put you through, but I want you to know you were a witness of what a true man of God is supposed to be like, and because of you, I realized that I was where I should not be, and I have given my heart to the Lord Jesus Christ now, and to this day, He's serving the Lord, and I don't get any glory, but God does. I'm prone to thinking the same things. I'm human. But I have to yield my members, my mind, my body, my hands, my eyes. I have to yield that to the Holy Spirit and not to the flesh. I don't need to walk in the filth of this world because Jesus Christ has cleansed me from all unrighteousness. Hallelujah. There's a scripture that goes with that. It says, don't be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. 1 Corinthians 15, 33. Let me read another scripture for you. This is in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 14 through 22. This is straight from the Word of God, but if the right people hear it on Facebook, they'll flag it and it'll be kicked off. So if you don't find this on Facebook, we'll put you a link on there where you can watch it later if you want to see this or share it with somebody. You know, this world is so dirty and so dark. Sometimes we don't think about it because we're distracted by so many things. But this world is so dirty. The Bible said it would be this way, that they celebrate what is evil.
Yes, yes.
And they think what is good is bad. Yeah.
Yes.
So, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 14 through 22. With eyes full of adultery, they never stop sinning. They seduce the unstable. They are experts in greed and a cursed brood. They have left the straight way and wandered off to follow after the way of Balaam, the son of Beor. Son of Beor. Now listen for just a minute. This says they have left the straight way. So this tells you that this is talking about people who once followed the path of righteousness.
Yes.
Believers in Jesus Christ. But they have been so misled. I have to say this, and I'm going to say it before I go on. You can allow yourself to continue in your sin, and if you're not careful, your conscience, what the Word calls, is seared with a hot iron.
Yes.
You stop being able to feel. Anybody do anything regular that it creates calluses? Maybe it's shovel, maybe it's push a pencil, maybe it's play guitar or piano or something. Johnny's fingers are calloused from this guitar. And somebody asked him, I think it was Rick, asked him a few weeks ago when I had him stay up here and play, where was his fingers hurting? His fingers weren't hurting. His muscles in his hand were hurting a little bit, but his fingers weren't hurting because he had lost the feeling there because he plays that guitar so much.
Yes.
I want you to understand, if you continue to sin, you will callous, you will harden, you will... You'll put an insensitivity on your heart or on your conscience. And when the Lord begins to deal with you, if you push him away, it will get harder and harder and harder for you to hear him calling you back. That's why lukewarm people are lukewarm.
Yes.
It's a hardness of the heart.
Yes.
It's a callousing of the conscience. And the thing is, lukewarm people don't know they're lukewarm.
Yep.
This says that these people left the straight way and wandered off to follow the ways of Balaam. If you don't know who Balaam was a prophet. I believe that he was a true prophet. But he was swayed by money.
Yes.
He goes on to say, who loved the wages of wickedness. But he was rebuked for his wrongdoing by a donkey, an animal without speech, who spoke with a human voice and restrained the prophet's madness. These people are springs without water, mist driven by the storm. Blackest darkness is reserved for them. Lord help us. For they mouth empty, boastful words, and by appealing to the lustful desires of the flesh, they entice people who are just escaping from those who live in error. Did you hear what that said? People who are hardened will lead you astray. People who are dirty and willing to cover and hide their sin will lead you into deception. You need to know that. These people are springs without water, mist driven by the storm. Blackest darkness is reserved for them, for they mouth empty, boastful words, and by appealing to the lustful desires of the flesh, they entice people who are just escaping from those who live in error. They promise them freedom while they themselves are slaves of depravity.
Yes. Yes.
For people are the slaves of whatever has mastered them. If they have escaped the corruption of the world by knowing our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and are again entangled by it, in it, and are overcome, they are in worse condition. They are worse off at the end than what they were in the beginning.
Yes.
This is the word of God, by the way. Verse 21, it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than to have known it and then to have turned their backs on the sacred commandment that was passed on to them. Of them, the proverbs are true. A dog returns to its vomit. Now, I know that's gross. But I'm going to stay there for just a minute. That's one of the grossest things that dogs do. I'm not going to paint a picture. Because some of you are going to eat after this. But that's one of the grossest things that dogs do. But Christians who return to their sin.
Yes.
That's what this is talking about. We're the same way. Do you know what the next phrase is? The next part of this? It says, and a sow that is washed returns to her wallowing in the mud.
Yes.
Here it is. They return to their uncleanness. That's not God's plan for us.
Amen.
It's not God's plan for us. The Girgashite spirit will not let us stay out of trouble. It will lead us into more. It will bind you and it will take you into the dirt with it. And if we hang around people who are like that, they'll take us with them. And if we're not careful, we'll become people who will take others with us. And we cannot allow that to happen. Bound by the Spirit, you will never accomplish anything in the kingdom of God because you just can't get any traction. Any traction. If you'll recall, I mentioned that the Girgashites are never mentioned alone, but they're always mentioned with other Canaanite nations. Here's the importance of that. This spirit, this unclean spirit, that wants to keep you focused on the world. It wants to keep your mind in the gutter. This unclean spirit brings along with it always something else. Canaanites, Amorites, Perizzites. Brings them with it. So, the Girgashite spirit will also have the Hittite spirit, the spirit of fear. come tagging along with it. Or it will have the Canaanite spirit, which we've not talked about yet, but that's depression. And you know, it's easy to understand why we would be depressed if we keep going back into these places because of constant failure. There comes this feeling of condemnation that we can't seem to be free of. But I want you to know that there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. We don't hear all that most of the time. All we hear usually is there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. But if you don't want condemnation, you have to walk after the Spirit, not flesh.
Amen.
God doesn't want you to feel condemnation.
Amen.
But we can't help it if we're dirty.
It's true.
The good news is the blood of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Cleanses us from all sin. Let me give you, just like I did last week, I don't know if you're taking notes or not. We handed out some papers. I hope we handed those out, but we handed out papers. I want you to write down three things, and I'm coming to a close. It's almost noon. I'm coming to a close very quickly, and we're going to do a drawing. But I want you to write down three things. Here are three ways to overcome uncleanness. Actually, three steps to overcome uncleanness. First, you must be washed. And I mean really washed. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 through 11. Do you not know that unrighteousness will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you were washed. You were, here's that other word, sanctified. You were justified. I heard this when I was a child and it stuck with me. Justified means that it's just as if I'd never sinned. It's what God will do when He washes you. But you got to be washed. You can't do it. You can't do it in your power. You can't do it in your strength. It only comes through Jesus Christ. But you, such were some of you, but you were washed. Notice that. Such were some of you, but you are washed. You were that, but you're not anymore. It's what the Word says. You were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of our God. You can be clean. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sins. Let me give you a couple more scriptures and I'll go on to the second point, second step. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Revelation 1:5. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. So we have to realize that if I want to be free, it is only by being washed in the blood of Jesus.
Yes.
Oh, the blood of Jesus.
Yes.
There's power in the blood.
Amen.
Amen. It washes white as snow. I think of all these songs. Number two, next step. Second step in overcoming uncleanness is to put the Lord's righteousness on, not your own. What is our righteousness?
Filthy rags.
Filthy rags. What does filthy mean?
Dirty.
We're not of the dirt anymore. We're washed. We're set on a rock. I've got to give you one more analogy. I love to go into the mountains and wade in the creeks, and it seems that when you get out, there's always mud. But if you can get on one of those rocks, wash those feet off, let them dry, you can put your socks back on, you can put your shoes back on, and you can walk out of there clean. I want you to understand, this world is full of dirt. But Jesus is the rock.
Yes, he is.
He is living water. He's the only one that can wash us and make us clean. And He's the only place that we can stand and stay clean. Now, I want you to understand that It's the Lord's righteousness,
amen,
not our own. Isaiah 61:10, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. He has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments, as the bride adorns herself with jewels. Isaiah 64:6, but we are all like an unclean thing, and all our righteousness is as filthy rags. We are all fading, we all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. Jude chapter 1 verse 24 and 25. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless, that's good news right there.
Amen.
Before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to our God and Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty and dominion and power both now and forever. Amen. So the second step is put on the Lord's righteousness, not your own. Third step in overcoming uncleanness is to intentionally stay out of the dirt. I'm pausing right there because some will say that's just legalism, Pastor. It's not legalism. It's wisdom. It's not legalism. I want us to understand, people will say, you know, you're trying too hard. You're trying to be holy. You're trying to be righteous. I'm not trying to be holy because in myself I can't be holy. I'm trying to live in his holiness without offending my God.
Amen.
Do you get it? I know it's 12 o'clock and I'm losing some of you. Stomachs are growling. Babies are crying. It's okay. Babies not bothering me, by the way. I love it. But I want you to listen for just another minute or two. We have to intentionally steer clear of the uncleanness. James chapter 1, verse 27. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this: to visit the orphans and the widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. That means I intentionally need to steer clear of the mud. Thank the Lord that if I step in the mud, his grace is sufficient and he will clean me up. But I can't just walk around and traipse through the mud and think that it's okay.
Amen.
I have to steer clear.
Amen.
And he will keep me on the path. I just told you from Jude, verse 23 and 24. He is able to present me faultless.
Yes,
now I know I got faults and he knows I've got faults. But that's what grace is about. Right living requires right thinking. Your life will follow your thought life. So choose to allow the Holy Spirit to clean you, to sanctify you, set you apart for his purpose. I got a lot more, but I'm not going to go any further. Actually, I've got three more scriptures, but I'll let you look these up. Let me just tell you what they are. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17. I'm sorry, the 2 Corinthians 6, verse 17. Romans 12, 1 tells us to present our bodies a living sacrifice. And 2 Timothy 2:22, flee youthful lusts. I can't be righteous without his righteousness.
Amen.
But I can watch where I step. Stand to your feet. With every head bowed for just a minute. Nobody looking around. Everybody's eyes closed. If you are struggling and this unclean spirit that is represented by the Girgashites that seems to keep you pulled back into the dirt all the time. If that's something that you're struggling with, and it doesn't matter to me this morning if you've already believed on Jesus Christ or if you haven't yet, I'd like to see your hand. If this is a struggle, just lift your hand up and say, this is a struggle. I'm pulled in directions that I don't want to go. I saw several hands anymore. I see more. Pulled in directions that I don't want to go. Now, I see hands all over this building. And some of these people that I see have been serving the Lord for many, many years. And I don't want you to be intimidated by that. I don't want you to let that bother you or worry you. We have all been right there. I, as your pastor, have been right there. And I want to tell you that there is freedom in Jesus Christ. And I want to ask you something. I want you to be very bold right now. And it doesn't matter if you've believed on Jesus as your Savior 30 years ago, or if you have not believed him yet as your Savior, believed on him yet. I want to ask you to step out of your seat and come up here where I'm at just for a minute and let me pray a prayer of deliverance over you. And I know it's Mother's Day, and I know it's 4 minutes after 12, but I would rather see you meet with God and get your deliverance than to get to the steakhouse in 15 minutes from now. I'd rather stay, personally, I'd rather stay till dark tonight and miss getting the time to have family, and I'm not going to keep you that long, but I'd rather stay until God was done than to let you leave and perhaps some of you not knowing Jesus find yourself in hell. I want to know if there's anybody in this house who raised your hand and you were all over the building, if you'll come forward and be bold and say, either I'm a follower of Christ, but I'm still troubled by this that tries to draw me back, or I don't know Jesus and I need to start off on a new path. Step out of your seat right now. Come on. Come on. Hands all over this building. Don't be ashamed. Brother, God's going to meet you. He's going to meet you right here. He's going to meet you, brother. Come on, there's more. There's about 20 more, at least.
Yes, thank you, Lord. Thank you,
Jesus. Probably 90% of us, actually. 95, 98. Come on, just be honest. We struggle. We're human. Thanks be to God. He has called us to freedom.
Yes.
He's called us to freedom. I'm going to give you just another minute. Step out of your seat and come on. Young man, come on. Come on. Don't be ashamed. Been right there where you're at. Stay right here, brother. Don't go anywhere. Can I get a couple brothers come help me? Jay, if you'll come. Brother Mark, if you'll come. Pastor Maisel, come with me. There are more, a lot more people here. And God wants you free. And I hope you get it today. These men have come to the right place to get it. And we're going to pray a prayer. I'm going to pray a general prayer.
Thank you, Father.
And I'm going to let you hear me, but then I'm going to turn my microphone off.
Thank you, Father.
And I'm going to pray with each one of them. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for my brothers. I also pray for all the others who raised their hand but didn't come down. God, I pray that you give them the boldness to face this.
Thank you, Jesus.
But God, these three men who have stepped out of their seat, God, they are just being honest with themselves and honest with you. And there's a struggle in their heart, a struggle in their mind. But God, you have promised us that you would give us peace and that you would give us freedom. I declare deliverance over my brothers. I declare deliverance in the name of Jesus. The things that try to hold the mind in the gutter or in the wrong place or in earthliness, I declare in Jesus' name that it release them. I declare in Jesus' name that they are free.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord.
Because you have not, God, you have not called us to bondage. You've called us to freedom. You've called us to freedom. God, there are three other people in this house that raised their hand that are standing out to me. And in Jesus' name, even though they aren't up here, I pray that you set them free. God, I don't know if they know you.
Freedom.
I know one or two of them do, but I don't know about the others. I don't know if they know you're not. But God, you don't want them bound by this. You want them free. And I ask you in Jesus' name that you'd set them free. Everybody that raised their hand, God, set them free. But God, they have to realize they have a part to play in this. Help them to yield it to you. In Jesus' name. You all go ahead and pray for just a minute. Pray for one another.